follow you from now on. Eh? Luke chapter 17. We did this scripture last week. I want to cover it again because there was a question asked about it, and I thought I'd take the time to the best of my ability, answer that question. Certainly, if you have any other insight on it, I'd love to hear it, because it's something I don't understand completely the way I'd like to understand it. But I think that anyway, let me stop babbling and we'll get to the scripture first here. Last week I made the statement that there are no degrees of believing. We talked about that. That either you believe God or you don't believe God, right? And that the scripture we looked at was Luke chapter 17, verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Right? And that was the thing where people might get the impression that, you know, you can definitely grow in believing, but the intimation is that, you know, you can believe a little bit and then or a promise, but not completely believe it, or something like that. That's the intimation. And then verse 6, he says, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, which is a small seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Right. So he Jesus Christ's response to them was not, let me show you how to increase the believing. He said, look, if you believed that much even, right, this is what would be accomplished to this tree. Right. So his response was, it's not more believing you need to believe. And the context there is, if you read the context, it was about forgiveness, right? They asked the question, I think, right before that, that's the, let's see. It says, if they trespass against you, so, I mean, no matter how many times somebody trespasses against you, right, Jesus told them, forgive. And they said, oh, Lord, help us to believe more, right? He says, look, you don't need more believing. Just believe what I'm telling you. You know, they were like, it's going to be, it's hard for us to do that. No, he told them, you don't need more believing. You just need to believe what I'm telling you, right? It's just, because if you didn't even that much, this is the result. Now, the question that was asked to me was, well, what about the scripture that talks about, O ye of little believing, right? And that's a good question. So we're going to look at that. In Matthew chapter 6, that particular phrase is used 5 times. And it's always in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 6. So again, that is not a full, as much as we covered that verse in last week, but that's what we talked about last week, and led to the question of, but what about, oh, you have little believing? Because that seems to imply, okay, you know, you can increase that to a higher level. You can learn to believe, yes, but let's look at that record. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought, or anxious thought, or mental distraction, that anxiety of thought, for your life what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, for how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith, or of little believing? That's where that scripture is used, O ye of little faith, right? The words literally in the Greek, if you look them up, it means, it's a Greek word called oligopistis, which is a version of the word pistis, which we get the word believing from, right? And it means somebody who trusts too little, not trusting enough, right? Jesus Christ's statement here is not saying, okay, you guys are believing this much in that area, and you guys should increase your believing that much. That's not what he's saying to them. He's saying those who are anxiously concerned about food, clothing, shelter, the basics, they haven't even started believing yet, right? That's what he's saying. You haven't even started to believe. Like, because that's just, you know, God just, here's the, you know, the lilies of the field. Look at them, right? The birds, all these things, you look around you, it just happens. People grow, things just live. And why would you, as a human being, who is much better, be even the little slightest bit concerned about those things, right? So it wasn't like he was teaching them, you need to believe more in quantity. You have to just start, you're not even started believing if we have anxious mental distraction about those things. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Another place it's used. Okay. Verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Right. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Right now, you got to think about this record now. He says to them, O ye of little faith. They're in a ship. It's very stormy and windy. And he says, O ye of little faith. Is he saying to them, You only believe a little bit? He's not, is he? Were they believing at all? When a man comes to you and says, Save us, I'm going to die. Are they believing at all? No. So you see, he's not saying to them, oh, you have a little bit of believing in this area. He's not saying that. He's saying, you're not believing at all. Right? You know? Well, it means you don't trust enough. But you see how it can, like, if they were believing a little bit, he goes, okay, I see you've kind of calmed the wind. No. They're saying, we're about to die. Save us. And he says, oh, you have a little faith. You know? You see how it can't possibly mean in quantity, can it? Right. So it's pretty clear, and that's what I. Anyway, look at Matthew 14. It's all the uses seem to fall into that category. So again, this is what I see. I thought about it much and prayed about it much and looked at every lexicon and thing that I can get my hands on that refers to that section, and really, it's pretty clear what it's saying. Just in the text, it's written, right? They came to him and said, we're scared, we're going to die. So if that was happening to you, would you say, well, you know, you're believing pretty good, but not enough? And that's not what I would say. He says, oh, you have little belief. You're not believing at all, right? And that's what he told him in Matthew 14, verse 23. Is that where we are? Yeah, 23. I keep flipping a chapter here. There we go. Okay. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. I can never understand Peter's questions, right? Because if it was a devil spirit, right, would that convince him that it wasn't by saying, You can come on the water too? Anyhow, I think it's kind of funny. Because if it's you, let me come on the water, right? Okay, Peter. Verse 29, and he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So now he is walking on the water, right, which is pretty incredible. Yes, I would say that's pretty much in the incredible category. Yeah. So he's walking on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, When he's believing, he's walking on the water. When he's not believing, what is he doing? He is sinking. Right? You see, it's either you're believing or you're not. Yeah, exactly. But you see, even in the context there, it's pretty clear what he's saying to him. He's not saying, oh, you know, you're doing pretty good there. You know, you're not sinking that fast. And actually, that is not true, because what does the word say? It says, and immediately. He had to reach him, didn't he? All the words are there. The word itself shows you what "oh, you have little faith" means. It means they were not believing. Right? When he was believing, the results were pretty clear, right? He's walking on the water, which is incredible. As soon as he stops, down he goes. "Oh, you have little faith," right? You didn't trust enough. And that's why, to me, you know, it's pretty clear. And there's one more, actually. We'll look at it in Matthew 6. The other one is in Luke, and it's the same one as the one we just read, but it's in different... So we'll stay in Matthew. Matthew 16. Did I say 6? Matthew 16, sorry. I was going in order here. Verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." Right. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread?" Now, if you will remember the records of the feedings, right? The feedings when he fed the 4,000 and 5,000, right? It was interesting how the men that were with him were right there believing with him, right? They knew exactly what he was going to do, and they had no idea. Who did the believing in those situations? Jesus Christ did, right? So he's not saying to them, "Oh, in those situations, you guys had a little bit of believing." He didn't say that. He goes, "You know, you have a little faith." When, you know, they had seen those two things, and they still didn't believe. You see, it can't mean, "Oh, there's a little bit, now you can increase that." They had seen those two amazing miracles, and yet now they're in a situation where they may have no food, and he says, "Oh, you have little faith." He's saying to them, "You still don't believe." Isn't that what it's saying there? Like, he's not saying, "Well, you know, it was nice how you joined me, and you know, you believe for a couple of hundred of the loaves, and I did the cup." No, it's nothing like that. And you read those records, both records, they don't know what to do. Remember, he questioned, he himself knew what he was going to do, but he asked the man, and he said, I don't know. There's a few fishes here and a little bit of bread, right?" No. You see, so that to me, when I read those records, it doesn't at all say that there is degrees of believing, does it? From what I've seen. If you see any better in those records, I'd love to hear your input on it, right? But look at the records. Is it saying there's an amount they had, or is it saying they weren't believing at all? To me, when I read the record, they were not believing. But so words of little faith doesn't mean little in quantity. It means they didn't believe, right? It didn't trust, or the way it was taught at one time, they call it immature believing. They hadn't gotten to the point where they could actually believe that yet, right? So anyhow, that's my take on that. Genesis chapter 6. It's neat when you look at the Word of God sometimes. Now, you can look at the Greek, and you can look at the all the things behind the scenes that aren't obvious, but a lot of times you just have to read it, right? I love that, where you just go, "Well, it's kind of obvious," right? You know, when you just read it. Genesis chapter 6, you know, continuing on lessons in believing, the one key thing I wanted to share today, beyond what we just looked at, is that believing, and we looked at the definition last week as well, that, you know, that Reverend Geer had given up on in one of the workings on Bible kinds of faith, and he said, "Believing is not an unattached process of mental exertion where you sit there and kind of really concentrate. It is acting on the information received." You know, I tell my kids, "Supper's ready, come and get it," you know, and they come and get it. They act on the information. You know, if you put a dollar in this machine, you can play some silly video game, right? You know, they put it in, you can play it, right? You act on what the information you're told. That's believing. It's not sitting there saying, "Oh, I can really, really get my mind straight. I can," you know. It's not just some kind of unattached process. It's where you actually, and it's quite simple. It is the way you teach kids, is you just say, "Yes, sir," to God's word. The word says this, you go, "Okay, I believe that." And then you act on it. Genesis chapter 6. And in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, and both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But, verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then God said in verse 13, And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me. Verse 14, Make thee an ark of gopher wood. And then he tells him to put rooms in it. Verse 15, And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. Gives them the length, gives them the dimensions. You know, verse 16, A window shalt thou make. He tells them to put a window in the ark. And then he tells them about the flood. And then he tells them, verse 18, about the covenant that he's going to make with man. Then we get down to verse 19. Tells him every living thing of the flesh, what he's supposed to take. Verse 20, what kind of fowls. Verse 21, the food he's supposed to take. All these instructions God lays out to Noah. And then we get to verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. That's believing. Like, it's a very simple definition of believing. You act on information you know is given you. It's that simple, right? Now, the information is given me, like Peter, you know, come. He acted on the information. Yeah? As soon as he stopped acting, guess what happened? Right? As soon as he believed the information that was given him, that he could do that, right? You know, and he was there, but as soon as he doubted the information, and that's the whole point. As soon as you doubt the information, does God really mean that? Did God really say, Adam, that you shouldn't? Did God, no, Eve, or did Adam tell you that? You see the doubt? To try to doubt what God had given them to believe, right? That's so he was trying to get her, Eve, to stop believing God. And did he? Yeah, he got her to stop believing God. She started to change the information, to add to it and to take away from it, right? Not to accept the information as was and go with it, right? In Acts chapter 16, you know, and I had some other notes put here about how, remember Elijah and the 400 prophets and all that? Actually it was 800, right? 800 in the end when they were all killed, right? Remember, they tried their little altar thing. The prophets of Baal tried to build an altar. They cut themselves and all that. And then Elijah was sitting there saying, you know, maybe you should speak a little louder because maybe your God is sleeping or all that. You know, like he's taunting them, right? And you think he's being a fool, right? Taunting them. Because if I was thinking five senses wise, I would not taunt a couple of hundred people with knives who are cutting themselves, right? Because it's a lot easier to cut you. Then, you know, yet he's taunting them, saying, you know, come on, maybe your God's sleeping. What's wrong with you guys, right? No, he didn't. And then when it comes to time to his turn, right, they dig a trench around the altar and they fill it with water and they pour water over everything. You'd think it'd be easier to light something on fire when it wasn't wet. But did all these things. And then the fire of God came down and consumed the sacrifice. And then, you know, before that happened, what did Elijah say to God? He said, be it known that I did all these things according to your word, right? So you think maybe even the taunting? If he said all things, he did everything according to what God had shown him to do. That's believing. And that's a pretty, you know, it's a pretty touchy situation there with Elijah. But he did. And that's believing is acting on the information. It's literally walking out on the information. You know, when someone told you, when you open your mouth, move your lips, your tongue, your throat, you're going to be able to speak in tongues, you act on the information. That's believing. In Acts chapter 16. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Right? This is Paul on one of his journeys, and this man appears in a vision and says, Paul, come over and help us, right? Verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Did he wait? Right? No. See, Paul was told, come into Macedonia and help us. That's the information that God had given him. Just come to Macedonia. This man had given him a vision. There stood up, and immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia and the next city to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. Now, Paul had been given information to come into Macedonia, and that's all he'd been told, right? He hadn't been told any more than that, right? This man said, come and help us. There's no information, we're not told that he had any specific information beyond that. And while we're talking about that, let me just clarify one thing. As you all know, in the Word of God, there is something referred to as the manifestation of believing. There is believing, which is what we do every day. You know, when God's Word says, if you're anxious, you pray, I will fill you with peace. You pray and you get filled with peace. You just believe what the Word of God says. And that's written in God's Word, right? The manifestation of believing is something that is different only in the sense the information that you're given to believe is given to you by revelation. God tells you, here's some information that you can believe. He told Elijah, pour water on the altar. There's no record in the Old Testament about altars and burning and killing prophets. That says when you're in a situation like this, pour water. No, that's not there. God told him specifically for that situation, do this. Paul here specifically given information saying, come into Macedonia. That doesn't mean anytime I want to preach the Bible or you want to preach, you can go to Macedonia and preach the Bible. Right? That was good for that specific instance. Right? So the only difference between what we call our regular believing and the manifestation of believing is in one case, the information comes from God's Word. And the other case, the information comes from God by revelation. The mechanics of the believing are exactly the same, right? I mean, if you're told information, wherever it comes from, you believe in the same way, yes? Right? You look at it and you go, okay, I'm going to believe that. You choose to believe it. And that's the difference. So when you see the word manifestation of believing, so here, when Paul is given this information by a vision, he's going to have to exercise the manifestation of believing because there's nothing written in the scriptures about that, yeah? Okay. So he goes to Macedonia and in the ensuing record, a lot of events happen. Remember, he met Lydia, a seller of purple. Hadn't met any man yet, right? Hadn't met any man, right? Met Lydia, and then there's wonderful movement. They all believe. And then we go down to verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, there she is, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and attended unto the things that were spoken of by Paul, right? Then she baptized her household. Then we get down to verse 18. And thus did she many days. And there was this woman that came and kept saying, oh, these guys are servants of the Most High God. Remember that lady? She was possessed. And God cast a devil spirit out of her. Again, a lady, right? And then they're thrown in jail, right? Then we get down to verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in all thy house. See, so a lot of events, all I'm trying to get at, a lot of events happened here and the only information Paul was given was go to Macedonia. Right? He didn't have any more, but what he did know, he did. He followed through on it. And the end result, well, lots of movement of God's word. And if you follow the record, they go to Berea, Thessalonica, they go to Berea. Remember, the days were more noble than those, and they researched the word of God. And so a lot of movement of God's word happened, all because one man chose to say, yes, sir, to God's word. Had Paul said, well, I'm not really sure that information is any good, right? None of this would have happened, right? So believing, the great lesson that, the only one lesson that I want to, you know, kind of emphasize today is believing is acting. It's not sitting, it's acting on the word. It is moving, it is making taking the action. And the action is different. We talked about this last week too. The action depends on the situation. The man who was at the temple gate, beautiful, his action for him was for Peter to grab him by the arm and say, "Rise up." And as a result, he was healed, right? The action in another instance could be completely different. But the point is, he didn't just sit there saying, no. You see, one action we read previously was God told the man, "Stretch forth your hand." Right? And that's what he did. See, you act on the information that's given to you. It's not, the man didn't just go into a shell and say, "I'm going to concentrate really, really hard. I'm going to really believe it." No, he acted on the information. Literally acted on that information. Hebrews chapter 11. Again, you know, this is an area that if you ever have any more insight, I would love to know more about this area. Because believing, again, is, you know, it's worth the effort in our lives to learn to believe Him. Because, you know, you can be in situations in life are as varied as life itself, right? What challenges do you have to believe God on a day-by-day basis? Maybe you're hurt. Maybe you've got a situation with finances. Maybe it's peace. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's fear, depression. I don't know what it is. But the action to take is to believe what the Word of God says and act on what the Word says. Find the promise that deals with the situation and act on that promise. Example, if the Word of God tells me that if I speak in tongues much, I will be edified. You know, if I don't ever take that action on God's Word, then I haven't believed it. Will I ever be edified? No, right? If that's what God's Word says, then that's what I must do. If I don't do it, I have no reason to complain. You know, I can't say, "Well, why didn't you this and why?" No, the Word of God tells me I can take that action, right? In Hebrews 11, again, we could read the whole chapter. We won't, but verse 1, "Now believing or faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." What did he do? He actually acted on the information that God had given him. God said, "This is the kind of sacrifice I want." What did he do? That's what he did. He actually acted on that information. By faith, verse 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that should not see death." We read about Enoch last week, right? We covered Enoch a little bit last week. He believed in the coming Messiah. And so he actively spoke about the coming Messiah. Right? He believed it. So his actions were commensurate with what he believed. They lined up with exactly what he believed. Verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God," we just read it, "of things not seen as yet, moved with fear or reverence, prepared an ark." He did what God told him to do. You know, it's a lot easier to do what God tells us to do than to try and figure out what we must do. Right? Yeah? But too often we fall into the category of trying to figure out what can we do. It is a lot easier for someone. I love being told what to do. That's why I got married. No, sorry. You know, Jay's not even here to enjoy that.
That's right. So,
you know, it is a lot easier for God to tell us what to do. Yeah? And actually a lot wiser than for us to try and figure out what to do. So Noah said, "Okay, a flood's coming. God told me I'm going to do this." Verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterwards receive inheritance, obeyed, and he went." Right? God said to Abraham, "Go," and he went. He didn't even know where he was going. Right? Did he act? He acted. Right? And again, this chapter is a great example of where you have a combination of just normal, everyday, what we call believing, and also many examples of the manifestation of believing. Because there's always a promise. Is there always a promise to people living in isolated places that if you go, you should always go to Canaan? No. It was very specific to Abraham, but the information, he acted on it. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned. Verse by 10, he looked for a city. Then we go down. Let's go down to 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Did he do it? Yeah, that was not very easy. Right? I can't, you know, it's hard for me to get my head around that one. But he did what God told him to do. He acted on the information. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both sons of Joseph. And then it goes on by verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. They did what they were told to do, right? Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He acted. He didn't just sit back. He acted. He always... one of the great lessons of believing in this chapter is you just do what God tells you to do. Right? It sounds very, very simple, but I venture a guess that a lot of the issues we have in life today that we haven't seen the results in because we just haven't done what God has told us to do. Right? Look at Acts 27. You guys can read the rest of Hebrews. I'm sure you've read it. Read it again. I will close in Acts 27. Acts 27, verse 18. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, this is Paul and company in the ship, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. So all the furniture and everything else they don't need just to keep the weight down, they chucked it over the edge. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and saith, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have taken to have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. This information falls into the category of manifestation of believing, yes? Information being given specifically to Paul for that specific information. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. And here's a great statement. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That's believing. Information given and response, I believe it shall be just as it was told me. Right? What a great definition of believing. Right? I believe God, it'll be exactly as it was told me. The Word of God says that speaking in tongues builds you up. It edifies you. I believe God that it will be exactly as it was told me. So therefore, if I want to get built up, I'm going to speak in tongues much. I'm going to speak in tongues. I'm going to keep speaking. Any chance, any idle moment, or even, you know, an active moment, right? Doesn't matter. I'm going to speak in tongues if I believe it was as it was told me. Right? That's believing, right? How about Exodus? God told Israel, I am the Lord that healeth thee, right? To us, the promise was by whose stripes ye were healed. I believe it shall be exactly as it was told me, right? You see, you speak to your mind that way to act. Okay, what's the action? I don't know, right? The situation for you in the case of healing is different. What is the action? I don't know. I don't know what it is because it's different based on the situation. Right? But I do know that you're to act on what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, I'm Lord that healed thee, by whose stripes you were healed. And we need to believe it will be exactly as it was told us, right? That's believing. How about, for you are God's masterpiece, a member in particular in the one body. Well, I'm not worth anything. I don't amount to very much. Who am I that I could possibly be worth anything to God? Well, wait a minute. The Word of God says you're God's masterpiece. I believe it shall be exactly as it was told me, right? That's believing. You believe you are God's masterpiece. You believe that you are a member in particular put there by God as it has chosen him to put you there, right? That's believing. That's acting on the Word of God, right? That's saying, yeah, okay, I believe that. It's not being, you know, oh, look at me, I'm somebody. No, you're believing exactly what God wants you to believe, right? It's very, very simple. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. I believe it shall be exactly as it was told me, right? You don't stray from that. You don't look for an alternative. You don't look to figure things out on your own. You do exactly what the Word of God says to do. You act on that specifically. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, right? Okay, I made a mistake. There is therefore now no condemnation, right? God will not impute sin to a righteous man, right? That's what the Word of God says. I believe, you were to believe exactly as it has been told us, right? What do the seven church epistles say? What do they say to you? The action to take is not to condemn yourself, ever, right? You don't condemn yourself. You say, okay, Father, here we go. We'll try again. We're going to go to do it again. You know, and we keep acting on exactly what the Word of God says, right? And believing is really, really that simple, right? It's saying yes, sir, to what the Word of God says and acting on it. Whatever the action will be for the situation you are involved in, right? And some of the actions are pretty obvious. Don't condemn yourself, right? Don't ever question that you're not worth something when God's Word says you are His masterpiece, placed in the body as God has pleased Him, right? Right, so that's a little bit more on what I've chosen to call Lessons in Believing, Part 2. Many parts to come for the next 50 years from all of us, I should say. You know, again, if you see things that, you know, are impressed upon you when you're reading God's Word, I'd love to hear it, because I think the idea is that we all encourage one another to believe His Word. That's what going to God's Word is all about, right? We're to believe it. It's not just, we're not going to sit around here and just say, oh, that was nice, that was fun, interesting. You know, I want to believe what the Word says, you know. We want to follow the examples of those great men and women in Hebrews chapter 11, right? Who acted on the information they were given. And we've been given, have we been given any information? Lots of information, right? So, you know, we're given the ministry of reconciliation. What's the action? Preach His Word. That's pretty simple. Hard to carry the ministry of reconciliation out without speaking His Word, isn't it? So, you know, it's pretty simple, right? So...